listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Kawhi Leonard will opt out of his $21.3 million player option for next season, becoming a free agent. But the report goes on to say that rival executives think the Raptors are the favorites to sign him. What is the Vegas angle on this?
Okay, well, whenever there's odds on it, it's real simple, right? We love that. We love when they get the odds. You know, obviously the games are always going to have them. But you love them when they're on things like where Kawhi's going, because it's not only today's number that matters, it's where was it before. So Brad Powers, we got today's number, and tell us where it was before.
Yeah, and the Raptors now the clear favorite to get Kawhi. Will Kawhi, where will he be the first game of the next season? Raptors minus 250. RJ, just a couple weeks ago, Raptors were right around even money, like plus 100. Now minus 250. So 100 to win you 100 a couple weeks ago. Now you got to bet $250 to win 100 on the Raptors. Next in line, Clippers plus 175. Then there's a big gap. Lakers 8-1, Knicks 14-1, Nets 16-1. Clearly, Raptors the favorite.
Boy, I'd love to be able to bet the no on that 8-1 on the Lakers.
Ooh. Yeah.
You want to book that, Fez?
No, I'm not. Not
fancy
in the business
pants?
Of booking those no's.
All right, now, let's talk about what moves these lines. Because I think one of the under-discussed elements of non-game odds, non-on-the-field odds, and even more specifically, odds on things that it's possible somebody knows. Like, for example, it could have been, you know, hypothetically, someone from a gambling company could have known what the first song at the halftime was, and they could have held it back and then laughed about it when everyone lost, right? So in theory, you could know what that song was, and sometimes people do, right? Think about all the people that do is people in the band, obviously, those who are one degree of separation from the, you know, the wives and everything. And you're thinking, what, the wives or the band are going to be betting? No, you're right. It's though they tell, so, oh yeah, we're opening with this song, and then someone else knows a guy that's a big bettor in Jersey, and that guy knows someone in Vegas, and before long, it's like the one of those Planet of the Ape movies in the last set of them, where they showed after the ape flew how the whole world just kind of slowly died. Well, think of it in the opposite direction, where that information is just going to spread out like ice cracking across the country and the globe, really. And all of a sudden, the odds are like, how could they be that extreme on that one song? Well, that's the thing to remember. When it's information driven and there's extreme odds that don't make sense, it's usually a sign that somebody knows something. And the books are keeping it up because they figure if you don't know what they know, you're probably betting the dog, right, Fez? I mean, if you didn't really understand that information-type bets have this phenomenon and you saw two Survivor finalists, of, you know, two of the two, and or actually that's not the way it went on Survivor. What it used to be is it would get out who the two finalists were and everyone else would be like 14-1. Like you'd have, you know, one person at plus 110, other at plus 110, and then everyone else with these great odds because they knew who the final two were. But if you didn't know that, what would you do?
Yeah, you'd think everyone had close to an equal chance, and you're like 14-1 is outstanding value, and you'd lose betting the dogs.
And the analogy for that actually was the Tim Donahue scandal. Many of you remember the Donahue scandal. He was allegedly, we'll just keep saying that, having an influence on games. You know, the counterpoint to that is a lot of serious professional bettors lost money. So let's say Donahue is going to favor the home team, allegedly. And let's say that the odds should be 5. The home team should be 5. Yeah, Fez's power ratings. But then the money starts coming in on the home team. Let's say allegedly Donahue's crew. And it gets up to 7.5. Fez, if your number says 5 and it's 7.5, what are you doing?
I'm going to make a big bet on the dog plus 7.5. That looks like a 60% bet, RJ, by the pure numbers.
Exactly. So when you have a artificial influence in the market, it not only benefits those that have the influence to their favor, in this case, the information, but it hurts those that don't know about it. So what you should know is anytime there's information, like where Kawhi's going, where LeBron was going, that when you get later in the process, because early in the process, even the player might not know where he's going to go in that case, right? So I think that, Fez, if you had to say what's driving the early moves for things like that, would you agree the storylines in the media?
Absolutely. And overreactions, RJ, to those early storylines that oftentimes are just media driven without any real facts or predictive value.
Yeah. And I think that brings up a good point. Is it's usually the reaction merits some. I mean, think about LeBron last time. It was, oh, his kids were visiting a certain school. And it was like, well, that means something, you would think. But how much does it mean? Usually there's an overreaction. Jonas, when it comes to Kawhi and Toronto, you actually have a pretty strong opinion that runs contrary to the odds.
Yeah, and I just think that you've got to go back to what led to him being dealt. It was the fact that he wanted out of San Antonio, and everything that we kept hearing based on information like you're talking about is that he wanted to go back home to L.A. So if he does decide, if he decides all of a sudden that I'm just going to re-sign in Toronto, that would be a pretty damning, I don't know if you want to call it accusation, but a pretty damning sign that things are off in San Antonio, because him signing in Toronto is only for trust. It's just trust that they've built up. Everything. He's got a home out here in Southern California. Hold on.
When you say trust that they're not going to want him to play on a hurt leg.
Bingo.
Like, how would you define? That's it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's a pretty damning sign that things are pretty bad in San Antonio. If the fact that a guy who wanted to go back home now all of a sudden doesn't even care that he plays in the same country, just as long as he can trust the people that he's working with.
Boy, that's like a Fezzik there, like throwing in something that has no real, you know, merit. Like, you know, it's not in the country, but it's a couple hundred miles. But it's like, this guy went to a whole other country.
little sprinkles on top. Yeah,
exactly.
You gotta add a little something.
I tell you, it's a dangerous, slippery slope, my friend.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, you have a strong take on the San Antonio Spurs. In fact, so strong, some might even call this a scorching hot take.
Yeah, except I'm the one that invented the motto, cold cash over hot takes. So, can't be scorching, because I'll bet you on it, if you can. This is probably more of an opinion. Let me ask this, open question. And I'm not going to lead with the lead here. I'm going to establish the ground, seed the ground, and then we're going to build a big hot take. But not really. When have we had a player leave a team in the NBA where it wasn't about the fundamental limitations of that place relative to where they were going? Shaq going to LA from Orlando, et cetera, et cetera. We see it again and again. Durant going from OKC. It's hard to blame the team that lost them, right? Because they're at such a fundamental disadvantage, right? I left a small town with 4,000 people in it. There's nothing that town could have done probably reasonably to keep me there. So I'm talking about this Kawhi situation where it was a surprise that he left, that he forced himself out. And it wasn't even to a place that was necessarily better. As Fez would say, wasn't even in the country. He got pushed out of the country. He was, you know, so upset in San Antonio. So let's put Kawhi on the list. Who else is on the list? Let's say 2010 onward, this decade.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I don't have anyone.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's some. I mean, maybe, but I'm going to make the following statement. Because there probably is, and again, some of this is subjective, right? Did that guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, Chris Paul, I guess, would be an example of that. You know, the Clippers.
Yeah, Clippers, the Rockets. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But with that contract he signed, I guess the first one wasn't so bad. To me, Popovich, who is unequivocally considered the best coach, right now in the NBA, right? I mean, Stevens, though premature, obviously, you heard whispers last year, right, Fez, that, yeah, maybe it's Stevens, man. He's got that young mind. I mean, right now, who – I mean, I would put Steve Kerr right there, right? That's me. Who else isn't really in the mix? Because Doc Rivers isn't, for example. I mean, he's respected and all that. No one's thinking Doc's, you know, coming up with things that, Popovich isn't going to, you know, it's like, oh, no way Pop would have came up with that one. So this guy, one of the best, if not, I think, consensus best coach, Popovich. R.C. Buford, the organization itself, as Jonas said. And you're right, because there's two ways to look at this. One way would be, you've got 20-some years, 25 years in a way from Popovich, where it was 95, if I recall, in which this guy's been one of the best coaches. He's won titles, titles, titles. Everyone loves him. Wine dinners, you know, special exotic meats, the team dinner. I mean, it's like this is the story of the NBA, the small-town Spurs and what they do and how they keep it perpetuating the family. And then you got Kawhi, who, hey, won a title, won an MVP, inscrutable. Kawhi is inscrutable. I think we would agree with that. We don't know what he's thinking. I'd be scared, to be honest. You never know. I mean, like, if somehow he was going to go wild and just throw me through a window, how would you know? So I don't have any idea how to read him. So if you're going to blame someone, do you blame Kawhi about the Spurs now? Or do you blame the Spurs? Isn't Kawhi the natural one to blame, right?
That's at least what my thought was back when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, think about it. If it's like in court. It's the three-time convicted felon saying one thing and the cop saying the other. Now, is the cop sometimes lying? Yeah. But you're going to have to think that it's not the cop, it's the criminal. Okay, this line.
Yeah, and I remember, RJ, back when this initially happened, I talked to Rick Kambla of NBA TV, and he was siding with me at the time during an interview, and he said, yeah, I blame Kawhi on this. The Spurs have a great track record, so on and so forth. I talked to Rick Kambla about a month and a half ago, and he told me that somebody in the know told him for a fact that Kawhi Leonard was misdiagnosed by the Spurs doctors, 100%.
Okay. Yeah, so now that brings up a point that was about 6 or 8 months ago on The Herd, right here on Fox Sports Radio, Colin Cowherd's show. And I can't remember who it was that was on. So someone might refresh my memory, because Brad, I know you watch the show closely. And he was saying Popovich, at least for the team stuff, getting way too much credit. That Duncan was a clubhouse or a locker room, I guess is better in his case, sheriff. And you were not messing around. And then when you added in that there was buy-in from Parker, Ginobili, you know, it was a situation, if you wanted to buck that system, you were bucking the best players on the team. How are you going to win that? So, yeah, obviously Pop was telling Duncan what he wanted to establish. But Duncan, I think in a very unusual way, based upon, and Brad, do you recall who this was by any chance?
No, I don't.
Okay. But based on, it was a former Spur, so I mean, you know, obviously some insight, is based upon
Steven Jackson, I think it was.
Yes, yeah. Which, let's be candid, if there's any guy that's going to know about problems being stopped,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
He's kind of, yeah. He was pretty much saying, hey, I couldn't mess around in there, right?
Yeah.
It's like the one place you can't shoplift from when you're a kid. It's like, don't go there. They got double cameras. So to me, it really makes you wonder. Pop still is obviously a good coach. Really, you know, X's and O's and all that. But when he's a surly dude. I mean, he's like one of those dudes that's, you know, been so successful, Pop, and so smart. He gets a certain age. He just doesn't want to hear the other stuff. You know, I can't imagine he had nothing to say about politics when whatever anti-Trump stuff there is today, there was anti-W stuff during the war, you know, at the worst part of the war that was at least as intense. I mean, there was talk about war crimes, you know, from the left. Now, Pop is obviously left, you know, in his politics. That's great. Half the country is. But Lordy B, all the preaching, all the talking, where you could say, well, this is a new time. This is, yeah, well, people were talking about war crimes with W, so it seems like it can't be that much worse. It just feels like he's in a different age now where he doesn't want to deal with the BS. And let's be honest, Kawhi or not Kawhi, there's so much BS in the NBA, and anywhere there's going to be 12 people, especially if they're entitled people. Everyone on the Spurs, from the GM to the owner to Pop to the players, are all entitled. They're all making millions. And they're used to getting their way. And it just feels like that maybe we let Kawhi off the hook, because it seems like to me not only Toronto wants to keep him, but Toronto's whole team personality got transposed into or transformed into Kawhi's, right? Remember, what was that, after game four, right? Oh, no, three, when Clay was hurt. They'd win that game. They just walk off with stone faces.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
You think I would have done that with
no.
without Kawhi?
So no, they'd have been smiling and been happy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, like they won the title already, perhaps, right? We've seen teams do that. So to me, to recap, from a distance, Spurs versus Kawhi, you have to say Kawhi was the flaky one. Now that we now see Kawhi do the same thing he did with the Spurs initially, which was be the consummate team player. I mean, really, I was a Spurs fan at the end of Duncan's run, where I was watching him on the NBA TV and all that, you know, like literally every game. Kawhi, he never said a word. He was like the perfect player. Like, you know, if you're an old school guy, he never said a word, played defense, didn't take too many shots. I mean, how do you do better? And then one day he just becomes a flake? Okay, maybe. People change. But then he turns right back, and now there's just that one period of time. Boy, it just seems like that we have to reevaluate that. And I just hopefully built the following billboard, which is the Spurs made the biggest blunder if they did cause him to depart in a way that they could have avoided reasonably in this century in the NBA. We went back to 2010, but Kawhi could be the best player in the NBA. Imagine the Bulls running off Jordan. Right. Or imagine, you know, go. I mean, I guess to some degree you could say Kobe and the Lakers and Shaq, but except those two were, you know, you can only have one of us, I guess, is the story. So no one really got run off as much as they chose one, and they chose for Shaq to leave. But who, I mean, this could be the biggest mistake in the last, you know, this century in the NBA. Do you guys see that, or am I making too big of a deal about it?
Oh, I think you're making a big deal of it, RJ, and I agree with you. And as far as is Leonard, how good is he? Well, I got a top 10 list for my NBA players. Frankly, it's a dead heat. My top five, I've got them all number one, and Leonard is one of the top five players. If not, he could be the best player. He could be the fifth best player. They're all so equal.
So when you're saying that the top five are tied, that they're tied.
Yes.
I mean, it's really important. You know, Brad, talk about like punting on taking a stand. All right, Fez, who's the best player in the NBA? Well, 1A, 1B, 1C, yeah. 1D, and 1E. And oh, by the way, any one of these could be the best. I'm just afraid to try to say it. But somehow he wanted to put a microscope on it.
He did.
Fez, he's the man. So I guess you add it up, as much as Pop's got all his titles, and who knows if it was Pop's for, I mean, I don't know anything other than that organization seems like they've made a monster mistake. And not only is there one title in the books, you know, I know we got to run. Last question, Fez, this is off the cuff. If you take Kawhi off Toronto, all right, and you, let's think about this. You swap Kawhi back for
DeRozan.
Is the Spurs better? No, I guess the way to do it is take DeRozan off the Spurs. Is the remaining Spurs team better than the remaining Toronto team without Leonard? So Leonard and DeRozan leave the teams. You've got Toronto. You've got San Antonio. Who's better? The five-way tie. Oh.
It's close. I still think Toronto's better.
By a smidge.
Yes.
Okay. So really what we're saying is the Spurs would have been very competitive for the title.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's that big of a mistake.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
U.S., obviously, with the win. Obviously, tight, tight, tight. Now, we got three-way odds. Explain what that is.
Yeah, so the three-way odds are you can bet, RJ, will there be a clear winner, a clear loser, or will the game be tied at the end of regulation time?
Now, Brad, when I hear three-way in Fezzik, I think biggest underdog ever.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Touche.
All right, now, in this U.S. match, what were the odds?
So the odds were the USA was minus 265 to win in regulation time, a big favorite. Spain was plus 800 on the take back, and you could bet on the draw as well.
Okay. And with the draw, though, at what point, I guess this is one I should know. I'm just not a soccer guy. Does anyone know at what point the draw becomes the winning bet? Is it just at the end of extra time pre-penalty kicks? Or I think it's the end of extra time in the regulation is draw, right?
And that is correct, RJ. And for those who like the two-way line, the USA was
I'm sorry. We were actually just getting to that point. We didn't want to just switch the point, did we?
I know.
Oh, he's famous for that. All right. So the U.S. So really, effectively, what we're saying is the draw won on this.
No. I mean, the U.S., I mean, they clearly won 2-1. It went an extra 7 minutes after regulation, but it was still 2-1.
That extra time, that whole 7 minutes was still part of regulation.
Yep.
Yeah, anyone that says soccer is confusing with this, I think they're crazy. I mean, that's easily, 7 minutes after has to be regulation.
Yeah.
So
you would think.
All right. Now we've got some odds on the upcoming games with the other teams in the draw.
Yes. So the Netherlands are playing Japan, RJ. The Netherlands are -0.5. Lay $1.20. So they basically, the Netherlands have to win in regulation time in order to cover.
All right, so and that's the only other game that's up right now.
And the second one is Italy.
Do me a favor. Tell me who's favored. That's all I want to know.
Netherlands are -0.5 against Japan.
Yeah.
And Italy's -0.5 against China.
Oh, see how simple that was? That was so much better.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.